Castaway!
Oh, no, my boy!
Help me! Help me! Help!
Grab your iPod! Grab your iPod!
Jamal Float, you have been stranded.
Well, thank goodness I grabbed my iPod.
First things first, just look around briefly and describe the island that you would choose to be stranded on.
I'm thinking unfortunate scenario of white sandy beach and maybe some rugged cliffs on either side, and I got lucky enough to hit the patch of sand. And probably not wearing a lot of clothes because it's nice and warm out, but not too hot. Maybe tropical rainforest.
Are there any monkeys?
There should be some monkeys.
Nice. Like
and some like giant lizards or something.
Oh, cool.
Maybe some wild feral pigs.
Oh, wow.
An active island.
Yes. All right. Yes, hopefully.
Okay. So. Well, good. Let's find out who else is on the island. Particularly, you are on the island, and so we know a little bit more about you before we start in on the 10 songs that you've selected to have, perhaps forever. If you were to have 10 songs to last out your days, which 10 would they be? We'll find that out soon. But let's start off with when you came to Sitka.
I moved to Sitka in 1999. I was transferred here in the Coast Guard, and I did 6 years in the Guard, five of which I did here. And
where was the first year?
Well, first year is like boot camp and, you know, training, and mostly Virginia, which I'm glad that I got transferred out of Virginia. But I was living in Cordova before I joined the Coast Guard, and so Alaska was my first choice, and Sitka was pretty much the only spot to come back to, and it worked. It was my niche. I really happy here and decided to stay. So Coast Guard wanted to send me to Guam, which is, you know, tropical, and I opted for temperate rainforest, I guess. But
what did you do in the Coast Guard?
I was a diesel engineer primarily, and then towards the end of my stint, I started getting into emergency medicine. Mm-hmm. But primarily just mechanics.
And so you were on the Maple?
I was on the Maple. I was also at the air station. And so both times were same job, just, you know, kind of lateraled over. So
are living quarters comfortable on the Maple? You mentioned earlier the east coast of Mexico is one area, one port of call. So I assume that you spent some pretty long voyages on the Maple.
The Maple was very comfortable. I did a short stint on the Woodrush prior to the Maple. And I can tell you that we had about six times as much space. And wow. It was great. It was a real luxury to be on there. I probably would have not liked it as much had I not done that stint on another boat and, you know, gotten to appreciate how bad it could be. But we had a great ship. It's a small crew. Staterooms were really comfortable. You know, mm-hmm. It was four people per stateroom. So, you know, it's like being in college. You have bunk beds and it's fun.
How was the food?
Not bad. A lot of fried food. So there was a small gym on the boat too. So thankfully.
All right. Well, you didn't go to Guam. You stayed here in Sitka. What did you do? How'd you make your way?
Well, I ended up getting into carpentry. My father had some carpentry background, and so I grew up as a part-time hobby builder, and now I am a full-time carpenter and love my job. It's a pretty fantastic career I have. So,
well, Jamal Float, I guess it also should be mentioned, you were, full disclosure, you did a fair amount of the renovations of the cable house.
I spent
downstairs and upstairs. A
couple years of my life here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I think donated quite a few hours. So thank you, I'd like to say.
Pleasure. Yes. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, So that's some of what the work you do. What do you do for fun?
I have no idea.
I've got a couple ideas. We'll come back to them later on.
I have a 3-year-old who is a lot of fun, and yeah, she takes up a lot of time. I have a great family, and I manage to play quite a bit. So,
well, we'll talk about some specific plays, ways to play here in a little bit. But it's high time for some music here on the island. Choosing the 10 songs, what kind of a process was it for you? Easy, hard?
It was difficult. I actually came up with, I want to say, 4 playlists all said and done. And what I finally settled on, I kept making playlists that I thought would be, you know, just great music or whatever. And what I finally settled on, as I tried to put a little bit of realism into it, is my iPod is always dead. Every time I pull it out of my pocket, it is dead. And so I'm thinking that on an island, I'm probably not going to have a power source. I mean, there's a lot of logistics that go into this. More than likely, what's going to happen and what I envisioned was that there would be some type of accident. Who knows? I would end up in this place. And maybe I'd get shelter squared away, maybe get food squared away, and then I'd probably realize, hey, I have critical battery life, and maybe I can squeak out 10 songs. And so I tried to put it in my mind that was my where I was at, and I was just going to be sitting down on the beach and listening to music for maybe the last time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And some of the stuff I didn't pick is my favorite stuff, but it seemed to be really fitting for that moment. And so last night I put myself in that mind frame, and I went through my iPod. And so these are all songs from my iPod that could potentially be played one last time.
So that's interesting. So you're thinking that you would only have a chance to hear these songs maybe just one time each.
Correct.
Wow. I don't know.
Well,
wow.
It's a very literal interpretation.
I know. Well, I know because you know.
And as such, these songs are in their own way critical.
Yeah,
right. I tried to pick them quick too, and not waste time in that sense. So that you know kind of goes into some of the joins between them is that. I'm trying to really select something quickly that I know I'm going to like, you know, favorite song from the past or something that maybe just sits right for that moment. So,
All right. Well, what do we start with?
We start with my first favorite song, which is Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2.
And it's your first favorite song
ever.
So,
when
about
I was in
how old
middle
were you?
Gosh, I don't know, 12 maybe? I just started wearing sleeveless t-shirts because that was pretty cool.
All right.
And
and where were you growing up here?
I was in Illinois at that time. I grew up in just outside of Chicago in Illinois, and then half of my upbringing is in Southern Oregon. And so I was in Illinois.
And of all of the U2 songs, why this one?
This song seemed to have kind of a... It instilled something in me that led me towards, like, I always wanted to be a guerrilla fighter when I was a kid. I don't know why, you know, but that had some type of rebel calling to me. Like, I could put it on and feel like, you know, freedom fighting's in my future maybe or something. But it acknowledges something bad that happened, and it talks about how, you know, the good that can come out of it.
Close my eyes and make it go away. and mother's children, brothers, sisters, torn apart. Might drift away. So I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me think about where I came from. And that's the reason why I seem so far away today. Let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, and now I'm going home. For if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Kept on moving, proved the points that I needed proving. Lost the friends that I needed losing, found others on the way. I have kissed the ladies and left them crying. Stolen dreams, yes, there's no denying. I have traveled hard, sometimes with conscience flying, somewhere with the wind. Let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. For if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever fire, the empty room, the forest choir, the flames that couldn't get any higher. Well, they've withered now, they've gone. But I'm steady thinking, my way is clear, and I know what I will do tomorrow. When the hands have shaken and the kisses flowed, well, I will disappear. Let me tell you that I love you, but I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, and now I'm going home. For if I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had.
Beautiful song there. We're here with Jamal Float on Earbones, and you're no longer floating. You're stranded now.
Jamal beached.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the deserted island. Nice. And Jamal, what was that song, and why
that
did
was
you choose it?
Caledonia by Doogie McLean, and that's one of the most beautiful songs ever. It's Caledonia is the old Roman word for Scotland, and so that's an old folk song that Doogie wrote, like, I think in 1978 or something like that, mm-hmm. Just about being away from Scotland and missing home. And so there might be a little nostalgia about missing home.
Well, and why did you pick that song, though? Are you Scottish?
I am Scottish, mm-hmm. And Irish as well. I've never been to Ireland or Scotland, but I do, you know, put some ties there, I suppose. Mm-hmm. My mom listened to Irish music religiously growing up. I used to run the cassette player every Saturday or Sunday, and she would record Thistle and Shamrock, and I would sit there as a little kid and press pause when the commercials came on. And consequently, I ended up loving Irish music. And so I tried to pick something right off the bat that an oldie but goodie kind of thing, and something that I knew I'd love. And mm-hmm. And that's just a fitting song. I listen to that song all the time. So,
mm-hmm. Do you play a musical instrument of any kind?
I'm musically retarded. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play the radio.
Did you ever try?
I have tried. I played the trumpet in middle school and high school, and I played the violin, and I've tried drums, but I just have no timing, I guess. I'll start off really good, and then all of a sudden I'm on the wrong stanza. So it's just not me. But well, I'm an appreciator.
The design sense that you have, I've seen a fair number of drawings that you've made. There seems to be some sort of a Celtic element to what you design. Is that a fair thing?
Yeah, absolutely. My mom is a graphic illustrator, and she does primarily Celtic knotwork panels, and she specializes in classic Celtic drawing, line drawing, etc. And so that's what I grew up with, and it grew on me as well. I really love that style of artwork. I love the style of architecture that goes into that style of building, and so.
Well, let's talk about the next song on your list. It is a tune from Elton John, and I've got to ask right away. And what we're going to talk about the Stardust Ball later, and you've performed at the Stardust several times, so we're gonna get to that later.
Okay,
but
good.
One of the times that you performed in the lip sync, you were Elton John.
I was. It was an honor to be Elton John. I was kind of sick last year, which I really think hurt my performance, but it's okay. I still had a good time.
All right. Well, and so was that part of which came first, the lip sync or the love for Sir Elton John? Or
I don't know if I'd say I'd love Sir Elton John. I guess it's the right word. Elton came first, of course. I don't particularly follow him as a person or as an artist. Like some artists I really identify with, and I track them, and you know, you get to know people, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I don't do that for Elton John, but I pretty much love all of his music for whatever reason. It's got the right zang to it, you know, so it's fun to listen to. It's fun to dance to. Some songs get you really fired up. Some songs make you sad, and it's the job of music, I think. So, mm-hmm.
Well, explain a little bit about why this particular Elton John tune is on your list of 10 songs. We've got Jamal Float on the deserted island with 10 songs that he would choose to have if he was stranded perhaps forever. So this is a tune called Rocket Man. Why this tune?
I don't know why I picked Rocket Man. While I picked this song, I was thinking a lot about David Bowie and whether or not I would play anything from Space Oddity. Mm-hmm. And so I think that probably played into it heavily. And
kind of a song with, I think for me, has hope, or it's kind of an upper of a song.
Uh-huh. It's definitely an upper. It gets you up, gets you out of your seat, and has some hope to it. But it's also about being blasted off into space.
I've always thought of it as a sad song. It's always been very sad. I mean, I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs, but it's always been very nostalgic and sad to me.
Well, the energy of the tune, I think, is more of a get up on your feet.
So I don't think Rocket Man dies in the end. Like, it leaves it to your imagination.
It's not a get up on your feet song.
Yeah.
No. We'll see if Jamal gets up on his feet or not.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a rocket man. Rocket man, burning out his fuse out of every home. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again. Raise your kids.
fact is cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them. If you did, and all the science I don't understand, it's just my job 5 days a week. A rocket
and a band called The Flogging Mollies to end that couple of tunes. Before that, you heard Elton John and Rocket Man. Flogging Mollies.
No S.
I was going to say, isn't it? I don't think it's plural.
No S, yeah, right, just Flogging Molly.
Flogging Molly. Mm-hmm. And why did you pick them?
They are currently, and have been for the last couple of years, my favorite band. I love the music. I love the energy. And so I'm scrolling through my iPod looking for stuff to pick. It was a pretty natural thing to settle on them. And then that song, Within a Mile of Home, had a little bit of resonance towards my current situation. So I thought that was kind of fitting. Mm-hmm. And there were no F-bombs.
and some of their music does.
Some of it, yes. All right. Yes. So I really liked them a lot before I did some work here. And then while I was working here, I had owned the album already, but you guys here in the station owned the double disc set that had the complimentary DVD, which I watched and on lunch break or borrowed or whatever. And that sealed the deal on what a great dynamic group they were. And so hopefully someday soon I'll go see them and it'll be awesome.
All right. Cool. Well, we talked a little bit about your work. Jamal Float is our castaway on the island tonight. And we mentioned fun, how you have fun. You didn't really go into too much detail, so I wanted to ask you a little bit. I think that you have recently done some wakeboarding.
I don't do nearly as much wakeboarding as I would like to do, but that's a good pastime of mine.
A family affair?
Not a family affair. I'm trying to talk the fam into getting into it, but they're a little apprehensive.
What is wakeboarding?
Wakeboarding is like snowboarding on water. It's kind of like water skiing, except you're on a mono board, and it's just like snowboarding, really.
Oh. So
you get towed around behind the boat.
Oh,
about 20
oh, okay.
miles an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get towed around behind the boat, and you go over the wake of the boat. And have,
oh,
you know,
is it the on Wii? Is there a wakeboarding thing?
I think there is a wakeboarding
yeah,
thing on
okay.
Wii. Although
I'm
the Wii
good at that.
Version, I don't think includes an accurate or realistic portrayal of getting from being immersed in the water to being up
oh,
on the
I can
water.
Do flips and everything. I'm really good.
You're way better than I am.
Yeah.
I cannot do flips. I dream about doing flips on my wakeboard.
Tell us about the moments of you're in the water. I imagine you have a wetsuit.
I have a wetsuit on, yep.
So how do you go from in the water with a wetsuit to gliding over the top of the water?
It's actually really easy. your board is very buoyant. Mm-hmm. And so you're just kind of laying on your back and you have your board perpendicular to the stern of the boat out in front of you. And
are your feet attached to the board?
Your feet are
point?
Attached to it, yeah. They don't come out at any point.
That's helpful.
Mm-hmm. So again, like a snowboard, you crank your feet in really tight. And so they hit the throttle and that builds up a large pressure underneath mm-hmm. your board. And you can almost instantly stand up.
Wow.
And you just, you know, you put the resistance of the water moving underneath your board and you compress your knees and you stand right up.
So much easier than water skiing.
I think water skiing is the same. On one ski, it's a lot harder to pop out of the water. That takes more skill. But right. On two skis, it's the same thing. You put your feet out in front of you and you hit the gas and, you know, stand up.
Is there anything unique about wakeboarding in Alaska and water?
It's a little colder. That's about it. So people seem to think it's really novel, you know, that I wakeboard up here. I don't know why. I don't think it's the same as wakeboarding anywhere else. But every time I'm telling people, oh yeah, let's go do this, they're like, what? You know, are you nuts? It's just I don't know why, but so
it's a bit novel.
It's a bit novel. When I lived up in Cordova, I lived there through the winter, and we went water skiing every single day when I was up there. And we got pictures of water skiing next to the glacier and orca in cool. the background and all kinds. I mean, that was a little bit more novel. So,
do you know what killer whales call water skiers?
Hors d'oeuvres, I guess.
A quick snack.
A quick snack, yeah.
And then you also decorate your body. You've got some tats. Tell me about them.
Oh, okay. Well, I you know, not a professional or by any stretch, but I got a lot of tattoos, I guess. And
Do you design them?
I design pretty much all of them, yeah. My mom and I actually started designing tattoos together many years before I was able to start getting them, but I think I was like 14. We started co-designing stuff that I now have tattooed on me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And so she's a pretty hip mom.
Does she have tattoos?
She does, yeah. The first one she got was with me. We went and got tattoos together. I was probably already on like number 10 or 12 or whatever by then, but I talked her into it, and she's starting to kind of get the buzz. It's really addictive, and so I never meant to get more than a couple, but now I'm kind of, you know, working on sleeves, and so
yeah, your arms are they're not fully covered, but
not all the way, yeah. But it's once you get one, it's really easy to get a second one, and then it's, you know, it's very addictive. So
you got a couple of ravens.
Yep, I actually have three ravens. And those have a little bit of a spiritual thing, I guess. Three ravens is the symbol of the goddess Morrigan. So she's a Celtic goddess of life and death and war. And I don't really focus on the war part. I just think about the life and death part. And she's kind of like the All Mother. And so it's just a cool person to pay homage to. So.
And some dragonflies?
I got three dragonflies. And a lot of the power of three is in that kind of Celtic mythology bit. Mm-hmm. And my latest stuff is I'm working on a large beehive and a bunch of honeybees. And my grandfather used to keep bees when I was a kid, and we would work on the beehive together. And then my mom kept bees, and we'd work on the bees together. And when my grandpa died year before last, I started getting honeybees tattooed.
Wow.
Did your grandfather make, or what do you, harvest honey?
You harvest honey, yeah.
Wow. So how does it taste? I don't
way
know.
Way better than, way better.
Than the Subi or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, up until recently, actually, there were always beehives in my family. My dad still has some, but they have not been doing too well lately, and last couple of years, and so we don't have any homegrown honey at our house at the moment, but I hope in the near future that it'll bounce back a little. And
can you have bees up here in Sitka?
You can, but it's pointless, unfortunately. Wow. It's too wet, and so they get mold inside of their hives. Wow. And also, it's not mold. I'm not sure what it is, but it's on their bodies, and which will reduces their ability to communicate with each other very well.
It's probably a form of toe fungus.
Probably.
just like Sitkins have.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then also, we don't have enough flowers to totally sustain a hive.
Right.
And then in the wintertime, it's too cold.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
Which I don't totally get because, you know, I lived in Illinois and it's a lot colder there.
Oh, well, that's true.
So I don't know what, you know, that was something that I was told, but I think it's mostly just the wet and the lack of abundant flowers. So, because even in spring, you know, there's not a humongous flower population in Sitka.
Right. Except for some dandelions.
Alders, I guess, is something that, you know, bees can feed on, but I don't think in mass. So,
well, you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. I'm Ken, and Rachel's with me here on Ear Bones, and we've got an edition of Deserted Island happening right now. Jamal Float is our guest. He's chosen 10 songs to take to an island. If he were stranded and he had 10 songs he could listen to, and they were the last ones, perhaps forever, that he would hear. So we're heading now to your next tune, and it is another Flogging Molly song. So you have taken the somewhat rare choice of repeating a band. Some folks do it more than once or twice. So you've got two songs from the same band. Tell us a little about why and why this in particular, this next song.
This next song was actually a backup to the song I wanted to play. But like I said earlier, this band, you know, I really love their sound, and just listening to them really pumps me up and makes me feel good about life and myself and et cetera. So this one has enough good energy that it was a radio safe, good song. So, and I just enjoy listening to it. It has no meaning whatever beyond. I really just enjoy the song as is. So.
1, 2, 1, 2. Thank you.
sake of life, for hateful lies, to glisten once again. 500 years, like jelly night, have blown us all to hell. Freedom burns as the shepherd led his lambs astray to the bigot and the gun. Must it take a life for hateful lies to glisten once again? 'Cause we find ourselves in the same old mess, singing drunken. And stare as Roisin's eyes turn a darker shade of red, and the bullet with the sniper lie in their bloody gutless cell. Must we starve on drums from long ago, through bars these men may steal? Is it a great or little thing we fought? They'll do conscience blessed to kill. Must it take a life for hateful lies to glisten once again? 'Cause we find ourselves in the same old mess, singing drunken lullabies. Ah, but maybe it's the way we're taught. Ah, but maybe it's the way we fought. But a smile never grins without tears to begin. For each kiss is a cry we all lost. Though nothing is left to gain, but for the banshee that stole the grave. 'Cause we find ourselves in the same old mess, singing drunken lullabies.
Thank you. your party, walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan when the thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. Jesus' mighty sword, and they'll shield you with their wings and keep you close to the Lord. Don't pay heed to temptation, for his hands are so cold. You gotta help me keep the devil way down in the hole. 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 You gotta help me keep the devil down in the hole.
You know, I've just got to say that what we just did, because the Flogging Mollies, we played a couple tunes from them and said, you know, that might be an interesting band after Stardust sometime. So we just sent away an inquiry to the Flogging Molly.
Interesting wasn't the word, though. Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome was, you know, potentially epically awesome.
Yes.
Fair enough. So we, all right, well, we've put some feelers out there. Got a little work done.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that last tune we just heard.
That was Way Down in the Hole by Tom Waits. And scrolling through my iPod, I love Tom Waits and had a hard time instantly grabbing a song just looking at the list. And I love this one. There's a lot of redemption value, you know, in there. And so I thought that had some good moral context. I love the sound of it, and it's one of my favorites by him. So,
Rachel asked you if I think something that many, and I don't want to put music in a box or down in a hole, but many people, when they hear that song, think of it because it's on the soundtrack to
The Wire,
and
which I've never seen.
Yeah.
So. But that makes me want to see that show.
And, well, it's interesting that you used the word redemption and things like that, because I think the show has a lot of that in it, and without giving anything away. But there's just some really interesting characters, and it's a good show. So,
all right. Well, we mentioned Stardust. So before we move on to the next song on your list, Jamal Float, you have been up on the Stardust Ball stage how many times?
I'm not actually 12, maybe ish.
Was I've was only the Village People the first time?
No, the first one I ever did was the Cell Block Tango.
Oh right, we weren't
the Chicago.
Here that mm-hmm. year. That's the year.
That was an award winner, I think.
That was an award winner. Yeah, that was my first time I got talked into it by a bunch of foxy ladies, which, you know, that was easy. So, and we won, and so that was definitely a good starter and probably helped develop that lust to get back up there. What did we do next?
And then, Village People was.
I can count seven just right off.
So, Village People, that was great. The Village People. That was a walk on back when we could handle walk ons.
Right, right.
I remember that. That was so
Yeah. Funny. How do you get six other guys to, you know, have a couple drinks and dress up like the Village People and not plan a lip sync? Like,
right.
I don't know what we were. Anyway, that was fun. I had a lot of fun with that one. And then, I did Batman and Robin.
Yes.
And what was the song there?
Are You Strong Enough to Be My Man?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a crowd
That's
favorite.
That's a classic. Yeah.
Was that Kevin?
That was a personal favorite. Yeah, Kevin. Yeah. My buddy Kevin. Him and I did a lot of
He
ones
was
together.
Batman and you
yep.
were Robin.
Yep. And then...
how did you guys decide that? Who got to be Batman?
Because I would imagine... Because Robin had to sing.
Well, we both sang on that one. Yeah. Oh. It was a duet.
Did you flip a coin or did you just come to an amicable agreement?
It was?
I think it was kind of a natural fit. Like, Kevin and I were roommates and best friends and wild and just, you know, we were superheroes before we went on stage. And so he was already Batman, I think.
All right.
I think the next one was The Time of Your Life.
No, I did that one too, but that was a couple years later. Mm. We did a punk song, which was I don't even remember.
Oh,
it was like
the cheerleaders.
My United States of Whatever.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
fun.
That's right. I forgot about that one.
Right. That one was kind of technical. It seemed like there was stuff going on with that. I don't remember.
Well, there was the president.
Well, it was the president. We had the
masks
and cheerleaders and the king of Saudi Arabia and
that was
it was fun.
What next?
Then we did the Batman and Robin, and we did Nobody Puts Robin in the Corner.
And was that the one
that was
the leap?
Tribute to Dirty Dancing? That was with the leap.
That was really funny.
It was fun.
Oh, it was good. I,
you know, we actually went to the swimming pool to practice that leap too, just like in the movie.
Oh, I love that. Oh my god,
the things you do. So,
the lotion in the basket.
That was. I don't think that one was next. I want to say there was another one in between somewhere.
There was.
You know, there is no. There's no archive of all of these acts, and maybe
we did Baby Got Back.
I was
going to
say
Conjunction Junction. Yeah, and then a tribute to Buffalo Bill. That was Putting the Lotion in the Basket. That was a good one. And CeeLo Green.
CeeLo Green.
Yeah,
That Forget You. You know.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Sing a little bit of that.
Well,
I don't know how it goes.
Well, then, Rachel.
I already sang the part.
Right.
Well, it's something I see my girl walking down
the
street,
my girl
and I say, "Forget you."
Except driving around town in my.
He says it backwards.
You had the car attached to you.
Exactly, I was a car.
Yeah, you were a car. Got it. All right, that's back in my head. So then next,
there was.
Next was Elton John, I think.
Then Elton John.
Street Fighting Man.
Princess Di.
Yeah.
They got accosted. Princess Di was bad.
And you went from Candle in the Wind to
right.
Saturday Night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were playing a little radio there. We're missing a couple, I know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then this recent Stardust, first prize again.
Wayne and Garth.
Yeah.
Party on.
Dude,
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah,
that was
fun.
Precious. Well, you've got a fine history on the Stardust stage. Are you, any plans for next year?
Of course. But we've already been scheming. Yeah.
All right.
So,
too early.
Any tips or hints of what that might be?
You know, rock opera seemed to be a real hit. So, right. So something with a storyline.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of great songs coming up, and after these songs, we're gonna talk dessert.
I know it's a little late for. I mean, I need my dessert before it gets much later.
It's coming right up. Just be patient. So, Ana DeFranco.
Yeah. Again, I was trying to pick artists that had a lot of meaning to me, and I've been an Ana DeFranco fan since, I don't know, I was like 14 or so. I saw her at the Brit when I was 15, and I didn't get in, but I was standing like, the Brit is this cool outdoor festival in Jacksonville, Oregon, and I was staying at my cousin's house sewing backpacks for the summer. And I used to ride my bike down or run down to the wooden fence that was the barrier grounds. And you could actually see through the fence and see down the grassy hill and actually have a decent view and good audio of who was there. And I'd heard a couple little things by her before, but more of her like early, real angry kind of feminist power music, which I dig. Very much, you know, I largely grew up with a single mom so I have a connection there, I guess. But while I was staying with my cousin, he was really into Ana DeFranco and he had a bunch of her CDs. And so, you know, he played me some songs and then I went down and I saw her and I just was really blown away with, which is everything. She's just, you know, a complete amazing package as an artist. So.
And why did you choose this song?
I was kind of scrolling through a bunch of songs that I thought would have meaning given my, you know, beach set scenario. And this one seemed to be the most fitting.
Obliged to defend every love, every ending, or maybe there's no
song from Paul Simon called Graceland, a beautiful tune. Jamal Float is our guest castaway. Jamal, why was that song on your list of 10?
That made the instant connection from the last song because of the word grace. And so it was a quick in my mind song, and it's been one of my favorites for a long time. I probably listened to it last week, you know, on my drive into work, just popping that CD and crank it up and feel good music.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and on an island, I guess you mm-hmm. want to feel good.
I want to feel good. Yeah.
So. Well, tell us about your drive to work. Where do you live? Tell us about your family a little bit.
I live at Medici Hatchery with my wonderful partner, Angie, and we have a three-year-old daughter named Rin. And so every morning I drive in to town. Lately, it takes about 35, 40 minutes each way.
And where is the Medici Hatchery?
Medici Hatchery is in Bear Cove, which is in Silver Bay. So out past the pulp mill, 3 miles down a gravel road to a locked gate, another 4 miles, and you're there. It's on Green Lake Road.
You've got quite a commute.
It's the second longest one in town.
And the first is?
The maintenance guy that at Medici Hatchery, his house is right next to the ferry terminal. Yeah. Longest commute in town.
Wow. Wow. That would be a long commute.
That's a little local trivia there.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Very, very cool. How do you like living out there?
You need ups and downs. For the most part, I love it.
And why do you live out there?
Angie is currently the hatchery manager. But when we moved out there, she just works, you know, for INSRA and mm-hmm. They were needing somebody to be caretaker for the site. And she moved over here from Hidden Falls, which is another INSRA hatchery on the other side of the island. And so she was not too in tune with, you know, moving right into town. And I was pretty eager to get out of town, for that matter. It's nice to have one neighbor and not 12 in the immediate vicinity. You know, it's a good mm-hmm. feeling. So I grew up on a farm for the most part. So I'm used to having 50 acres around me, not one. So
do you go up to the lake with any regularity?
Not with any regularity. Probably 10 times a year, maybe. Mm-hmm. So maybe once a month we'll run up there, I guess. It's awesome. Medici Lake is a beautiful little lake. I call it Valhalla. Mm. And it's a real quick hike. It's, you know, 1.5 miles tops, I think. You can run it in 12 minutes or so.
Wow.
That might be inaccurate, so somebody, sorry. But I think, I feel like it's a 12-minute run. And it's, you know, it's just a quick little hike up there, and you basically come down this little rock slide, and you pretty much get almost right up to the lake before you can see it
mm-hmm.
For most of the year. Right now it's a little bit better. Some of the foliage has laid back, but it's just got big steep cliffs on either side. It's majestic. Usually it's crystal clear. The water is perfectly clear. I don't know how deep it is in the middle, but you can see the bottom. It's just an amazing little place.
Is there a boat? There used to be a kind of a rickety-looking affair.
I believe there is still a rickety-little boat up there. I think it's got a couple bullet holes in it, which is unfortunate. I believe somebody patched them, and I've been out in it a number of times, and yeah, I think it's still up there.
Right.
So,
well, I did want to ask you, you said you grew up on a farm. Did you have brothers or sisters?
Nope, I'm an only child.
Only child. All right. Well, let's move to dessert. It's time for dessert. Yes. Rachel's getting fidgety over there.
Yeah.
So you're on a deserted island.
Uh-huh.
And so we're asking the one dessert that you would have with you if stranded, perhaps forever. And so tell us what is the dessert that you would choose.
Well, I can't figure out how to get a dessert on a deserted island.
Well, you don't need to worry about the logistics.
There's some magic happening.
This is the magical part.
Yeah, this okay. is magic.
Well, I love dessert. So this was actually a lot harder for me than picking 10 songs.
Well, didn't you say you
I wanted to pick one song done by 10 artists and 10 different desserts. That's what I really wanted to do. And I could do that. I could probably pull up 10 real quick. So I love ice cream. I love baked goods. I'm surprised I am not obese. I would happily eat dessert, you know, every meal pretty much. So, but my all-time favorite is strawberry pie with vanilla bean ice cream. Mm. My grandmother used to make strawberry rhubarb pie, and so that used to be my favorite. But when I moved up to Sitka, actually, local cafe dropped the rhubarb, and I was in love. That was the ticket. You don't need rhubarb, not a strawberry pie. It's good enough on its own.
Does this pie have a top crust?
Yes, top crust. I do not. I do like the Jell-O version chilled pies, uh-huh. but I definitely do not prefer those. I would much rather have the baked pie.
Baked pie, mm-hmm.
yeah. So
and that's, those are better with ice cream. Mm-hmm. Too.
And the vanilla bean.
Vanilla is my favorite ice cream, but most people think of vanilla and they think of like old fashioned vanilla, and I personally think that those are too buttery. Mm-hmm. Vanilla bean has a real crisp vanilla clean flavor. You know, it feels clean on your tongue. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel like you're chewing on butter. Mm-hmm. So, in particular, vanilla bean. Yeah.
You have just made me, and I'm sure many others, very interested in having some strawberry pie with vanilla bean ice cream right now.
Yes.
I would take some.
Well, we better move on to the song. Otherwise, we're just going to sit here
and slobber.
The ninth song here is a tune from Bob Marley and the Wailers. Tell us about the song and why you chose it.
Bob Marley does a lot of great music, as I'm sure everybody knows. And I'm kind of noticing maybe my iPod battery is like on critical. And so I'm trying to think of two songs to close with. And so I was looking for two songs that no matter what will always, you know, just be light in your heart. And this one I think is a real good one for that.
Rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Amen. emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, all I ever have, redemption songs, these songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Beautiful song from Bob Marley and the Wailers, the penultimate song from Jamal Float, our guest castaway on the island.
Yes.
Well, there is a one last song, and it is, you kind of already mentioned, Jamal, that you wanted it to be a good, kind of a good, a feeling good song. It's, mm-hmm. Tell us about this last song and what it is.
This last song is It's a Beautiful World by Louis Armstrong, and I just can't help but feeling optimistic about everything when you listen to this song.
And I've got to say that you have a little pal and a couple now, four-legged friend.
Right. An optimistic little pal.
An optimistic little Una is always, to me, seems to be always in a great mood and seems to be always saying, "What a wonderful world."
Yes. Now that is definitely what she says.
When did you get Una? What kind of
puppy? Una is my dog, and she used to be my sidekick before we moved to a hatchery. Now she is the hatchery's sidekick. I've been abandoned. But she was a gift from a very dear friends of mine, Michelle and Brian. They got her for my birthday 1 year, and as a tiny little puppy. I was house sitting in their house, and they came back from Seattle with a dog for me. So middle of winter, you know, I think it was, you know, whatever comfort kind of thing they were doing, and they did the right thing. It was just a match made. So
what a great gift.
What does Una look like? Folks may have seen her.
She is about 40 pounds. She's very compact. She is mostly pit bull, but probably some other stuff in there. And she's just a stocky little dog.
And
cute
do
little
you,
face.
You call her color like brindle,
brindle,
right?
Yeah, she's brindle.
She's really beautiful.
She is beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful dog. Also, I call her Wonder Pig is what I call her, but that's my name for her. She snores and grunts, and she's just like a little pig. So she even runs kind of like a potbelly pig would run in a gallop trot, you know? So she's great.
Excellent.
Yep. And then on my other dog, I can't mention one and not Waylon. And Waylon is Angie's dog. And so when we met and became partners, our dogs met and became partners, and they very much did.
Is Waylon a boy?
Waylon is, yep. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of actually, there's been a role reversal. Like, Una is kind of Angie's dog now. And I, Angie will debate me, but I think Waylon prefers to hang out with me. I'm sure of it. So
aww.
It's kind of funny.
Excellent. Well, here's a tune from Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World Through Una's Eyes, and yours, Jamal.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Louis Armstrong to wrap up Jamal Floyd's 10 songs that he would take to his deserted island, if stranded perhaps forever. He'll have those 10 songs to listen to and strawberry pie with vanilla bean ice cream.
There's a boat on the horizon.
Oh, it looks like Jamal
will be rescued.
All right.
Sent back to Medvici with Una and Waylon, mm-hmm. and Ren and Angie and the whole rest of Sitka and the world welcomes you back.
Excellent.
Thank you very much for putting the time and effort into creating your list and for sharing the stories behind them.
It was awesome. It was excellent to be here tonight.
And you did mention just a few minutes ago that we needed you to come back. You appeared willing to choose a second 10.
I would be capable of choosing a second 10. Yeah, I don't, the circumstances would have to change, I think. But we could come up with something.
All right,
I could fall off another boat.
I don't know if we're cycling back through right yet, but noted. And thanks again for being here, Jamal.